What happens if you want a baby but you're running out of time? Maybe you haven't found the right partner, or you've found the right one but they're cagey about wanting kids. You can't seem to get pregnant, or you're simply too busy having an awesome life and heaps of fun to have a baby. And then suddenly, your so-called fertile window starts to shut. For the Ladies We Need to Talk episode, Last Shot Pregnancy, I spoke to Dr. Karen Hammerberg, an absolute legend and pioneer of IVF. She was there when the first ever IVF baby was born. Like, first one ever. So I started by asking where women stand if they try for their first baby after the age of 38.
Well, it is an uphill battle. There is the reality of our lives, but there's also the biological reality. And without scaremongering, it is really just biologically and physiologically gets more difficult to achieve conception after the age of 35. So for each year after 35, there's a significant decrease in the chance of achieving a pregnancy.
And what about after the age of 40?
Well, as I said, it just gets harder and harder. And I think there's some figure that when you're about 35, there might be a 20% chance of achieving a pregnancy every month. But by the time you're 40, it's down to about 5%. So obviously, any pregnancy that you achieve, it's also a bigger risk of miscarriage because the quality and the quantity of women's eggs, they really... declines after 35. And there are lots of women who have babies, and I know that we're often accused of a bit of scaremongering because everyone knows someone who's had a baby in their 40s. But we don't really know how many people try having a baby. And it's you can look at all the numbers you like, and they all tell the same story. It is it just gets harder and harder.
If I were pregnant right now, Dr. Karen, with a daughter, am I right in understanding that she, within my body, would have all the eggs in her body that she was ever going to have?
By the time we're born, we've actually already lost some of the eggs that we had when we first started. So, and then, of course, those eggs live with us for all those years. And again, as a biological reality, there are changes that happen in all our tissues as we age, including the eggs. So more and more of these eggs become non-functional, and there is also fewer and fewer of them as we get older. And certainly, I think people think that menopause happens in the early 50s, which it does, but perhaps most people are not aware that our fertility probably is almost gone some 10 years earlier.
One of the things that makes you very interesting to talk to, Dr. Karen, is that you're an expert in the sort of the nuts and bolts of IVF and getting pregnant, but also the psychosocial elements. So for a woman, there's a lot to fit in. You've got to, you know, try and get your career on track. You've got to, you know, try and live your life, look after your parents, and somewhere along the way, find a partner if you're lucky. Is having a baby just another thing that we have to worry about and put on our to-do list?
I think we are a bit overwhelmed with all the kind of achievements or all the goals we have in life. And I think it's fair enough. Women want to get a good education and a good job. And that does take a number of years and probably takes up those most fertile years. And that's the inevitable truth about it. I guess it's more about deciding at an age when we still have choices, whether having a baby is one of the top priorities or whether it's something that you'd be happy if it happens, but if it doesn't, I'll be happy anyway. If it's something that you desperately want to have in your life, I think there needs to be some reckoning with biology and figuring out how can I achieve this considering my circumstances. And as you say, oftentimes there is not a partner or a suitable partner, or there might be a partner who's not willing to commit to parenthood. And that's a big dilemma for women.
It's a huge dilemma. In your research, is that one of the main reasons why women put off having a child?
Yeah, you see, I think there's this kind of myth. I call it a myth because it's not proven to be true at all, that women delay childbearing. That sounds like an active act of, you know, just not wanting to deal with it right now. I'll deal with it later. I'll do all these other fun things first. It's not like that at all. Most women who end up struggling to conceive at a later age is because they either hadn't found the right partner or they've been with someone for, you know, 8, 10 years and always presumed that it would be ending up with having children together. And then when the time comes and there's a crunch time, he's not ready. And this not being ready is just devastating for a lot of women.
So, Doctor, around 25% of women undergoing assisted reproduction like IVF are over the age of 40. What are their chances of getting pregnant?
Well, this is where it gets quite sad, I think, because often it's thought that IVF is like a backstop. So I'll try on my own, but if it doesn't work, I'll have IVF. IVF, again, can't really overcome the biology of eggs. The egg quality is what it is, and it's not going to change because of IVF. So if you're about 35 years old, if you have one treatment cycle with IVF, with any frozen, all the embryo transfers done, the chance of having a baby is actually 42%, which is quite good. And if you go up to three cycles, it goes up to 61%. But if you're 40, after one treatment cycle, your chance is 12%. So almost one in 10 will have a baby and the rest won't. And if you try for three times, it comes to 24%. But there's still only just one quarter of everyone who tries three times will have a baby. And then if you get up to 42 or 43, it's negligible. It's really a waste of time.
Wow. It's a waste of time.
I think it is. And it's also a waste of a lot of money. So at that age, and we've done some studies on this, women who choose to use donated eggs donated by a younger woman, they have the same chance as the age of the woman who donates the eggs.
Oh, is that right?
So that is definitely a much more viable and a much more better option in terms of actually having a baby. And it's obviously something that people may or may not consider because it's not the same thing as having your own biological child. But in terms of IVF, that is definitely a much better way of hoping that you will actually have a baby.
So some of our listeners are probably thinking, look, I've got a good life, you know, I've done cool things, I've got great friends, but if I leave it too late, should I freak out?
I don't think freaking out. I think it's being equipped with the knowledge about what the numbers tell us and then making the best decision for yourself, considering your circumstances. And that, you know, we do take risks in life. And even if you take a risk and you take a punt, you say, I'll wait another year. And in all likelihood, you might be lucky and it might happen. I think the other thing that's come into play a lot lately is egg freezing. So freeze your egg, put them away, and then come back and use them whenever. And that is possibly a solution, but it also, people call it an insurance policy, but I'd call it more like a lottery because it may or may not pay out.
Tell me why.
Well, because to have a reasonable chance of success with frozen eggs, if you freeze them when you're 35, you probably need about 25 eggs. And to get 25 eggs, you might have to have this hormone stimulation several times over. And each time you might pay some $8,000-$10,000. So you freeze them. And then when they're thawed later on in life, they have to be fertilized with sperm. But again, it's like with IVF. Not every egg is going to actually give you a pregnancy. So even if you put away a good number of eggs, you may or may not have a baby out of them. And if you're older, if you're in your 40s, you need something like 40 or 50 eggs to have a reasonable chance of a pregnancy. So the numbers are really not very favorable. There are babies born from frozen eggs, of course, and it can happen, but I wouldn't bank on it.
Sure. So I like that your succinctness there, because I feel like I didn't know that. So what you're saying is, freezing your eggs is still like a gamble.
It is a bit, because there is obviously there are no guarantees in life anytime. And with egg freezing, it's something that people sometimes feel really empowered by because they feel they've done something and it makes them feel good. And especially when there's not a partner around, I think women really struggle with the idea of, you know, the biological clock catching up with them. There's no partner and they really want to do something proactive. And I think it can be beneficial from a psychological point of view.
Let's talk about that. So you've said that freezing your eggs isn't an insurance policy. It's a lottery, which makes sense. How can women take a bit of control over their bodies and their fertility? Is it to think about parenting on their own?
I think it's really being aware of what the options are. And the options are, if you freeze eggs, it's probably better to freeze them you know, not long after age 35, because after that, even if you freeze your eggs, they don't have that same kind of potentials. You might also consider, what are the logistics of being a solo parent? And some women don't actually even want that. The whole idea of having a child is to have a partner as well. So some people can rule that out, but for some women, it's still something that they might consider.
Should women in their 20s think about freezing their eggs as kind of a standard thing to do? Maybe like they take a gap year and they freeze some eggs?
Oh, you know, that's something that the IVF clinics would love, I think. Yeah, sorry to be mean, but I do think that in all likelihood, a woman in her 20s, it's going to be, you know, maybe 15, 20 years before she uses those eggs. And in all likelihood, like most women, she would have children long before that time.
Is there a taboo, doctor, around the idea of forward planning?
I don't think so. I think my only problem with forward planning is that, you know, you can plan all you like, but again, biology dictates. And even if you have everything done that you wanted to do and you're 35 and you want a baby, there might be some problem that stops you from achieving that. And people get very impatient. And I think there's a presumption that, you know, with contraception, we can stop pregnancy from happening. And I think there's a presumption that once you stop contraception, pregnancy will happen. So sometimes people try for 2 or 3 months and they say, gosh, nothing is happening. I need IVF. But in all likelihood, if you try for a year, then in a year, about 85% of everyone who tries in that middle age group will actually have a baby.
Let's talk about the men in this situation, because when we talk about the taboo around forward planning, women in a heterosexual situation, they are afraid to seem desperate. Like, I'm 35, I'm turning 36, I'm horny for a baby, you know, and they don't want to scare people off that this is a thing that they really want and they're really going to push for. So I've seen this happen with my friends. They sort of dance around the idea. They're a bit evasive about it.
You are so right. And I've seen it so many times too. And my best advice, I think, to anyone, even younger people, when they enter a relationship, to have a discussion early about what's your kind of ambition in terms of having kids, and to kind of get a sense for, are we on the same page? Are we having the same kind of ideas about what we might want for the future? And if these things are very far apart, I think, again, considering how important it is for you to have a baby, you're better off as a woman to find a new partner. Mm. I think if this is not something that even is on the radar for a male partner, the idea that he'd come around, and I am disappointed in some men, I have to say, because this thing of not being ready, when is anyone ready? I think there's no good time to have a baby. There's always going to be disruptive and it's always going to change everything around you. But if that's what you really want in life, you actually have to get going. You can't be not ready.
Yeah, right. How do you give men a kick up the bum then?
Well, I'm doing my best. I'm kicking. No, I think it's, and this is what really gets to me, is that this idea that every piece of literature you read, it says that women delay childbearing. No, women don't delay childbearing. It takes two for a baby, and it's often the men who delay childbearing. So the consequences are obviously worse for the women as we age, but even male fertility decreases with age. So by 45, the sperm quality is not as good as it was when you're younger, and there's more problems with the children born to older fathers. So I really, in our fertility health promotion, we really put a great emphasis on men and their contribution and their duty to be contributing to the decision making and to be active partners and to really, because as you know, or you might not know, but we know from research that men actually want children as much as women do. It's kind of thought that it's much more important for women. But when you ask me young men, 90% of them will tell you that they want to have kids when they get older.
Is that right?
Yes. Yep.
So is the solution maybe more young dads?
I would like to see that, because that would actually help everyone. And I think if people can think of the life course and reprioritize the sequence of events and maybe have the babies when you're a bit younger and have plenty of time when you're older to do all that traveling or whatever it might be. But the other thing I think would help would be to have much better kind of social policies that supported women and men to have children when they were younger. Good parental leave, affordable housing, all sorts of social structures around us are actually not really helping people do what biology tells us to do, which is to have babies when you're in your, you know, early to mid-30s rather than when you're in your late to 30s to early 40s, because that it's just not the chance of actually having what you want is so much less then.
Mm, it's so true, but you don't have the resources to support a family when you're in your 20s or 30s.
No, but you can look around to, let's say, the Scandinavian countries. The paid parental leave is pretty much your full salary for a year, and it can be taken by the man or the woman, the dad or the mum. They often share it. And I think that means that the disruption to a woman's career is not any worse than it is for a man's career. We all have to put in something and sacrifice something if we want to have kids. And I think it's much more, the burden is much more on women in this country than it is on men. And I'd like to see that change.
So we should all move to Sweden?
I think we should.
Dr. Karin, a lot of women we've spoken to who have gone through IVF or are going through it now, they use the word gambling. Mm. Is IVF a big gamble?
Well, it is. As you can see from the numbers I gave you before, you know, there is no guarantee, obviously. And for each year that goes by, the chance decreases. I think the statistic is that if you go into IVF, of everyone that has IVF, only about half have a baby. So there's a lot of people who use IVF and don't get what they really wanted in the end. IVF is one of those stories where you always hear about the successes and you very rarely hear about the failures. There's no one is going to put up a big media article about, you know, how someone failed 10 cycles. Mm. It's only if she has a baby on her 11th cycle that she becomes like a hero. Mm. But there's an awful lot of people out there who've spent an awful lot of money, awful lot of emotional energy and hopes and despair and end up with nothing. So that's just the reality.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to, Doctor. It must be almost impossible to tell someone to give up trying.
It is, but I also think it's the duty of clinics to have conversations early in the piece. If someone comes and they are 40, I think it's very good to discuss with your doctor a plan for what's reasonable and to not get onto that kind of treadmill where you just have to have that next go and the next go. Because there is a point when we have to make really tough decisions. We always say that IVF is not something you should think of as a one-off thing. You might need three cycles. And I think three cycles is a reasonable thing that you can have in your head. I'll go three times. But it's very good to have some kind of limit early in the piece because it's very easy to get caught up in thinking that only one more. And that's where the gambling analogy comes in, I think.
Yeah, and it's like a gambling addiction.
Yeah, it becomes a bit like that because there's that elusive baby. And if you have a semi-success, you have a pregnancy, but you miscarry, you think, well, at least I can get pregnant. I must have one more go. So it's very easy to get caught up in that.
If I've got a friend who keeps trying and I'm starting to feel like they need to, I mean, it's not my business, but maybe they need to start thinking about a different future for themselves. Is there a conversation that you can have?
It is difficult because when people are caught up in this, it's all consuming and it's a very difficult to even, because once you say that you might stop, it's almost like you have given up and people find it very difficult to give up. But I do think that whatever we can do to help, and everyone knows their own friends best, but just talk about what will you do if it doesn't work and how can you help people think about alternative lives and alternative futures, because life, of course, continues and life can be very satisfying. And you can think of all the things you can do that you couldn't do if you had a baby. It's a kind of a readjustment and a realignment of what you think your life might look like in the future.
Dr. Hammerberg, what do you find is the most comforting to a woman in that situation?
I think just really being supportive and encouraging, and but not encouraging, saying go again, but trying to say, you know, what if it doesn't work? You know, there's so many things to think about that might be, part of another life that you might have. It's difficult to give general advice, I think, but for people who know their friends, giving them the opportunity to talk about the idea that it may never happen. And I think when you get into your 40s, it's even though IVF is often launched as some kind of solution. I mean, we see celebrities in their 40s and even 50s having babies. But the reality of that is that they most likely have had donor eggs. And they probably, some of them might even have had a surrogate. They haven't even carried the pregnancy. That's why they are so damn skinny when they've had their baby. So, you know, we don't know all that detail, but that is the most likely scenario. So there is a limit to fertility, and it's just the reality of biology.
That was Dr. Karen Hammerberg. She's a senior research fellow in the School of Public Health and Preventative Medicine at Monash University. If you want to hear the full episode, you can find Last Shot Pregnancy right here in the ABC Listen app.